Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Sort of run on the bank there at AIG in China. David Weiss joins us now. He's the chief economist for Standard & Poor's, and we're going to try to get a handle on what the source of this volatility is. David, thanks for joining us.
No, thank you.
You know, since you are the chief economist for Standard & Poor's, it occurs to me to ask, you know, what sort of complicity do the ratings agencies have? We've been talking with people all week long about how it's very, very difficult now to use the rating agencies as a guide to what the actual risk of securities is. Hence, there's this crisis of confidence. What's Standard & Poor's position on this?
Well, I can't, you know, obviously speak for what other people think of our ratings. Clearly, there's a lack of confidence in anything resembling risk, and we've gone from a period where the markets were irrationally complacent about risk to a period where they're irrationally afraid of it. And eventually it'll settle down, but when, I'm not sure.
Well, but some people specifically charge that the irrational sort of upside came from the perhaps irresponsible or inappropriate ratings of these mortgage-backed securities, and that ripple around the world is what we're seeing unwind right now.
Well, to begin with, speculative-grade bonds in the United States were trading at only 260 basis points over Treasuries a year and a half ago. That doesn't make sense given the ratings we had on those bonds. They should have been trading at 500 basis points, at twice what they were.
So what you're saying is there's been a decoupling of the actual rating from the way things are traded.
Well, yes. I mean, let's face it. These things are trading way off their ratings now. They were trading way off their ratings the opposite direction a year and a half ago. You know, if you take that, you'd say they weren't believing us then, and they're not believing us in the opposite direction now.
Well, I don't want to ruin your breakfast this morning by, you know, sort of poking you on this subject, but let's talk about, you know, looking forward. How are the rating agencies, and, you know, Standard & Poor's has, you know, a terrific reputation, and Moody's also. How do the rating agencies become the mechanism for the restoring of some of this confidence and bring a little more precision to the sense of risk out there in the market?
Well, to begin with, we feel the ratings that we've done on the corporations themselves have generally been reasonably solid. We haven't had any, you know, major surprises there. Obviously, we've had some problems in the financial institutions, but that's because their finances have been changing quite quickly. The problems occurred on the structured products, and particularly the more complicated of the structured products.
Do you have a position on the complicated? I mean, how do you warn investors about these complicated structured products? What do you say? Is it a sort of a, this is something we don't want to get involved in?
Yeah, for the moment, it's not a problem because nobody's issuing any anyway.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
I think a lot of these are going to disappear. And frankly, I wish they'd never appeared in the first place.
Ah, boy, indeed.
It goes back to the old comments from, you know, investors in the past. Peter Lynch made the comment, if you don't understand it, don't buy it.
That's great advice. Speaking of that, you know, Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson said at some point early on in the week that we are perhaps less than halfway through what he called the housing correction, which is the extent to which real estate in the United States is losing its value, and that is beginning to cause questions in the portfolios of some of these investment banks around the world. First of all, do you believe that is the case? And if we are, you know, have some more distance to go, what are the implications of that?
Well, to begin with, it depends on which part of the housing crisis you're looking at. If you're looking at it in terms of the physical sales starts, I think there's some encouraging signs that we're getting close to a bottom. I don't think we're quite there yet, but I think we'll get there in the next few months. On the other hand, in terms of prices, I think prices are going to continue to fall through next year in order to get rid of that inventory of unsold homes that's out there. And in terms of the actual losses on the credit, on the securities and on the mortgages themselves, we've already booked a lot of them because people have changed their expectations, but the actual foreclosures, charge-offs, will probably not peak until 2010, maybe even early 2011.
All right, so, and it won't peak till 2010, and we've already lost Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac?
We lost Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac because they are marking to market based on these expectations of losses, not on the losses they've already taken.
I see. So it's possible that under federal control, these institutions will be able to weather this peak that's coming in 2010.
Their cash flow is not doing that badly. What they're losing money on is because they have to mark the securities to market. And those markets are dysfunctional right now.
And they're not selling. Well, it's a great analysis, although alarming waters going forward. David Weiss, chief economist for Standard & Poor's, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Boy, that
that's
something to digest there.
Not the losses now, but the expected in the future.